It's not often you get an encore at an introit. So, good morning, everybody. And welcome to our Stewardship Sunday. We welcome any visitors who are with us. I would like to welcome back Leon. Nice to see you back. And my cough has been getting progressively better, and I haven't coughed today till I came to church. It should go away any minute. I finally got to see a nurse practitioner after 4.5 weeks. I'd just like to thank Gordon Fraser for spending all day yesterday at the manse doing some plumbing work. It took longer than expected, but in the end it was in a good cause. We can get drinking water again. So thanks very much, Gordon. The service today at Arranview, it was going to be their harvest Thanksgiving, but unfortunately the organist can't manage and a couple of replacements can't manage, and given my infection, we're postponing it till next Sunday. If anyone would like to come with us next Sunday, you'll be most welcome. We're also having no midweek worship this week. And we're not having the prayer time this week. But the Guild is on. James Law is speaking about my love of Scotland. And next Sunday, we have a special service. Susan Gill will be admitted as an elder. She was previously an elder in Fife, but now moved to Saltcoach. She'll now be an active elder with us. So I have to read this for the second time officially, the edict for the ordination and readmission of elders. Susan Gill, a member of this congregation, has lately been elected by the Kirk Session to be a ruling elder in Saltcoats North Parish Church. Susan Gill has intimated her acceptance of the office of eldership, so notice is hereby given to all concerned that if they have objections to state why the aforementioned Susan Gill should not be ordained to the office of ruling elder, they should approach the Kirk Session, which is appointed to meet in the small hall before the service at 10:45 on Sunday the 20th of October 2019. If no relevant objection affecting the life or doctrine be then made and substantiated, the Kirk Session will proceed to the ordination without delay on Sunday, 20th October 2019, next Sunday. These are all the intimations. So this is Stewardship Sunday. It is God who gives us our time, our talents, our money, and every blessing. So let us give thanks to God. Let us worship him. Let's sing 145 in the Red Book, O Lord of heaven and earth and sea, to thee all praise and glory be. St. Paul writes that Jesus, who was rich, for our sake became poor, so that through his poverty we might become rich. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you came down from heaven to this earth. You spent yourself in order to enrich us. You lived and died and rose again to raise us up from sin and death to eternal life. You were infinitely rich. For our sakes you became poor, so that through your poverty we might become rich. We praise and thank you for enriching our lives so much. Thank you for blessing us with our daily bread and so many luxuries besides. Thank you for giving us time and talents and money. Thank you for our most valued possessions. But even more, we thank you for blessing us with a new set of values. Thank you for releasing us from being possessed by our possessions. Thank you for freeing us from the false gods of money and materialism. Thank you for opening our eyes to the real things of value. Merciful and gracious God, forgive us when we lose sight of you and we see life with greedy eyes. Forgive us when we know the price of everything and the value of nothing. Forgive us when we spend our lives in things which will just go into black bags instead of laying up treasures in heaven. Forgive us when we focus on material things more than on spiritual things. Forgive us when we misspend not only our youth, but our retirement and the bit in between as well. We worry too much about food and clothing and aging and the expense at the expense of focusing on and seeking above all else your kingdom on earth. We confess that we are bad stewards, not looking after the precious gifts that you give us. Loving Lord God, we thank you for your forgiveness. You look after the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, and you love to lavish all you have to give upon us, your loved ones, and you give us your forgiveness as well. When we end up in the pawn shop, you come and redeem us. You buy us back. Lord Jesus, on this Stewardship Sunday, help us to be better stewards of your many blessings. Help us to be the best that we can be in our own lives. Help us to make the most of our time, talents, and money for you. Help us to enrich everyone around us. Help us to contribute to the upbuilding of your kingdom on earth. Help us to build up your church. Help us to be leaven in the lump of society, the salt of the earth, reflectors of your light, good disciples of you, the Master. And help us to be good stewards of our rich heritage, good stewards of our children and grandchildren, good stewards of the Garden of Eden, planet Earth, and good stewards of the gospel which you have entrusted to us. And hear us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, I was expecting the Sunday school this week. I thought they were off next week. So I'd set out for them my coin collection. I don't know if you have coin collections yourselves. I don't mean common currency today that you can use later on, cash in your smarty tube of 20 pences or something, but I collect all these foreign coins. I get them from the offering, of course. No, just kidding. But when you go around the world, you end up with a few coins at the end of your trip. So I keep them. It's a sentimental journey to look at all the nationalities. But the more you look at money, whether it's foreign money or our own money, the more interesting observations there are. A $1 note and a $100 note looks very similar, except for the two zeros. Well, the one zero. Two zeros. The number of zeros makes a difference. It's funny that. It's just a piece of paper, but they stick on a few zeros, and it's worth an awful lot of stuff. All that money is a token that you swap, and you pay your bit of paper, and they give you a haircut or whatever it is. And it makes the world go round. When the government runs short of money, they print more. But we can't. It's called forgery. A big note in one country doesn't mean much in another country. Try getting 10,000 lira. It's valuable in the country you're in, but it's not the same somewhere else. The value in anything can shift from time and space. 1p isn't much until you want to go to a public convenience and needed one. So I invite you at the end of the service to have a look at my coin collection. There's some old coins. You can get a penny or two there from the First World War. It's amazing how far back these go. And they're becoming rarer things now, paper cash and coins, as we go to this swipe cards and all the rest. But it's a way of introducing us to the thought of stewardship. Stewardship is more than money, but money is a good way of measuring things. So let me ask you, what is it that God gives us? Can you name God's blessings that he gives us? Grace. Health. Faith, love. Now, all of these are more abstract words. Would you say that God gives us money? Would you say God gives us food? Would you say God gives us a pew to sit on? See, how concrete, tangible, practical is God when he gives to us? I would suggest that God gives us everything, except the flu, except evil, sin, crime, nastiness. People manage to come up with things, and the world seems to give us some of these. But the loving God is like a parent who gives the child all the things you've just said, love, nurture, care. But a parent also gives a scarf, a pair of gloves, shoes, food, money. It's the total range. So when we count our blessings, name them one by one, the very simplest, most concrete things are often the best manifestations of the other things. If my mum gives me a great big present, she really loves me. It's not the size of the present really, but it helps. God gives us material blessings, and he gives us spiritual blessings, and they're not in two departments. We get the spiritual through the material. Money's not a bad, dirty thing. It's more what you do with it. Right, God gives us. What do we give God? Any offers? Service. Worship. The kind heart to help others. Our time and our talents. Again, you haven't got it right down to awful brass tacks. Do you give God really physical, concrete, tangible, obvious things? Like, do you give God money? Well, you do. We'll have the offering later on. Do you give God your car? Do you give God your children, your grandchildren? Do you give God everything from the materialist things to the spiritual things? I think sometimes our relationship with God is made too abstract. Let's think a bit today about the very literal, concrete, practical, everydayness of what God gives us, what we give him. And it comes down to a two-way thing. We really share together. Worship isn't just Sundays and singing. Worship is practical action. Like if you give somebody a cup of water, God gave that somebody a cup of water through you. God and you share the cup of water with him. And whatever cup of water can extend to. So if you give somebody a lift in your car, you're saying, it's not my car, it's God's car. I'm using it, and I'm using it as God would want me to use it to give you a lift. You're getting a lift in our car. It's easy to be the rich person writing checks and graciously giving to other people. God has a humbler attitude himself, and he wants us to have it. Let's just say it's all ours, and we'll all share it together. It's a radical view of stewardship. Well, let's sing together. Number 464, the wise may bring their learning. 464. It's about this radical view of stewardship.
Some we bring, they clean, some we bring, they clean.
Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading first from 1 Chronicles chapter 29 at verse 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 at verse 9. And this is King David speaking about building the temple for God. And they'd been having a collection for it. The people had given willingly to the Lord, and they were happy that so much had been given. King David also was extremely happy. There, in front of the whole assembly, King David praised the Lord. He said, "Lord God of our ancestor Jacob, may you be praised forever and ever. You are great and powerful, glorious, splendid and majestic. Everything in heaven and on earth is yours, and you are King Supreme, ruler over all. All riches and wealth come from you. You rule everything by your strength and power, and you are able to make anyone great and strong. Now, our God, we give you thanks and we praise your glorious name. Yet my people and I cannot really give you anything because everything is a gift from you, and we have only given back what is yours already. You know, O Lord, that we pass through life like exiles and strangers, as our ancestors did. Our days are like a passing shadow, and we cannot escape death. O Lord, our God, we have brought together all this wealth to build a temple to honor your holy name. But it all came from you, and all belongs to you. I know that you test everybody's heart and are pleased with people of integrity. In honesty and sincerity, I have willingly given all this to you, and I have seen how your people who are gathered here have been happy to bring offerings to you. Lord God of our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, keep such devotion forever strong in your people's hearts, and keep them always faithful to you." And then from the New Testament, from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 at verse 1. The background to this is that the mother church of the whole of Christianity in Jerusalem was having a very hard time because of persecution and poverty. So all these new churches round the Mediterranean that Paul was founding were asked to make a contribution to help the mother church. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "We want you to know what God's grace has accomplished in the churches in Macedonia." That's your neighbors. "They have been severely tested by the troubles they went through, but their joy was so great that they were extremely generous in their giving, even though they were very poor. I can assure you that they gave as much as they could, and even more than they could. Of their own free will, they begged us and pleaded for the privilege of having a part in helping God's people in Judea. It was more than we could have hoped for. First, they gave themselves to the Lord, and then, by God's will, they gave themselves to us as well. So we urged Titus, who began this work, to continue in it and help you complete this special service of love. You are so rich in all you have, in faith, speech, and knowledge, in your eagerness to help, and in your love for us. And so we want you to be generous also in this service of love. I'm not laying down any rules, but by showing you how eager others are to help, I'm trying to find out how real your love is. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he made himself poor for your sake, in order to make you rich by means of his poverty. And at verse 12, "If you are eager to give, God will accept your gift on the basis of what you have to give, not on what you haven't. I'm not trying to relieve others by putting a burden on you, but since you have plenty at this time, It is only fair that you should help those who are in need. Then, when you're in need, and they have plenty, they will help you. In this way, both are treated equally. And finally, from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, at verse 13. A man in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide with me the property our father left us." Jesus answered him, "My friend, who gave me the right to judge or divide the property between you two?" And he went on to say to them all, "Watch out and guard yourselves from every kind of greed, because a person's true life is not made up of the things he owns, no matter how rich he may be." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was once a rich man who had land which bore good crops. He began to think to himself, "I haven't anywhere to keep all my crops. What can I do?" "This is what I'll do," he told himself. "I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, where I will store my corn and all my other goods. Then I will say to myself, 'Lucky man, you have all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, enjoy yourself.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night you will have to give up your life. Then who will get all these things you have kept for yourself?" And Jesus concluded, "This is how it is with those who pile up riches for themselves, but are not rich in God's sight." Amen, and thanks be to God for these readings. Let's sing together hymn 456, "We Give Thee But Thine Own," 456 in the Red Book. Stewardship is a very wide subject. We are stewards of time, our talents, our abilities, our interests, our skills, and of money, and our possessions, and our resources. We are stewards of our health. We have to make the most of what health we do have. Stewards of our physical bodily health, our mental health, and our spiritual health. We are stewards of our children and our grandchildren and future generations. We are stewards of planet Earth, the world, the blue planet, the Garden of Eden that God has blessed us with. We are stewards of a rich historical heritage. People have passed on the baton from father to son and so on for generations, for centuries. And it's our time and place now. We are stewards of the Christian gospel. When Jesus ascended to heaven and the angel said, "So what provision have you made for when you go? What's going to happen?" And Jesus says, "I've left 11 disciples. They will pass on the word. And the word has passed on to us. And it's our responsibility to pass it on to others." We are stewards of our neighbour. We are our brother's keeper. We are the brain cells in the community. We are the conscience in the community. We have responsibilities in all our relationships. So stewardship's a wide topic, but it all comes down to much the same point, that we have to look after whatever it is. Care for, nurture, upbuild, contribute positively. Do what we can with what we've got. Make the most of what we are. Do our tuppence worth. It's an attitude of life, an outlook, a posture. The German word is Weltanschauung. It's a whole philosophy of life. Being a Christian is being a steward. They're inseparable. It is how we live. It is the expression of Christian worship, Christian love. It's the core of our Christianity. It's not a specialist subject. It's not something on the edge. Stewardship is about far more than money. But money is included along with all the other subjects. And money can be quite revealing of our general attitude. So let's look today at stewardship in general and money in particular. Are you good with money? Is money good or bad? Or is it just neutral? It's what you do with it that's good or bad. Is it money that's bad or the love of money that's bad? Jesus had a lot to say about money, more than you might think. I got a surprise myself. Jesus spoke about wealth and poverty more than any other subject. If you take the Synoptic Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find that one in every 10 verses is about money. If you take just Luke's gospel, one in every 7 verses is about money. If you take the whole New Testament, there are 500 verses, that's one in every 16 verses, is direct teaching about money. So stewardship and stewardship of money is at the core of the Bible. We read earlier about King David's collection to build the temple in Jerusalem, and about, in the New Testament, the early church whipping round to help the mother church back in Jerusalem. Kathleen McElreevy, our treasurer, and Harry McElreevy, our gift aid promoter, took me aside last Sunday and expressed their great concern for the finances of Saltcoats North Parish Church. They've been slowly dwindling for a long time, but just recently there's been a sharper drop. If you take the 1st of October 2018, we had £17,000 in the bank. 1st of October 2019, it's £14,000. That's a drop of £3,000 in the savings. We need £1,000 a week, £52,000 a year. Our income comes exclusively from donations. No one person ever has to give anything. They're free will offerings. That in itself sounds a dodgy situation. But we are still here. Woolworths has gone. Thomas Cook has gone. Folk with more money than us have gone. And the church, the creaking gate, creaks on. But we do depend on Sunday offerings, donations for use of the church halls, and one-off donations for different reasons throughout the year. We have 250 members. 150 of them never attend and never contribute. A church of 100 people is said to be not viable. But here we are, creaking on. But listen to this. 16 people give by direct debit, 31 by gift aid, and 31 by free will offering envelopes. Barbara Dean's really informed me today, this morning. She's our free will offering organiser. Of the people giving, some are giving £1 to £5 a week. Most people, it's between £5 and £10 a week. Some give £10 to £20 a week, and only one gives more than £20 a week. To round it to simple facts, Saltcoats North Parish Church needs more different people to be giving. And we need those who do give to be giving a little more. So I'm just wanting to encourage you to review what you give. We're very grateful for what you do give, but as you can appreciate, costs rise, income needs to match the cost. But then having said all that, we're not saying, I saw a church, it was Shott's Church. If you drive from Glasgow to Edinburgh, you pass a church on a hill, and it had a huge sign up saying, Save Our Church. And I just thought, how sad is that? How the wrong way around is that? The church is here as God's instrument to save the world. They were asking the world to save the church. We're not raising money to save Saltcoats North Parish Church. When we give any money, we're giving our money to God as our offering, free will offering, as an act of worship and devotion. It's a concrete way of saying to God, I love you, in the same way as we would buy a birthday present or a Christmas present to somebody to say, I love you. It's not about the material thing so much as the spiritual thing. We need to catch the vision of why give. You know how kids ask for a rise in their pocket money just before mum's birthday, so they can buy mum a birthday present with her money. That's the economy we're talking about here. God gives us the money that we put in the offering plate to give to God. So it's not how much you give, it's how much you keep. If we could catch the vision, and if others could catch the vision, the whole of British economy, world economy, would be spent on different things. There'd be more love gifts going on, more love of God gifts going on. We bring whatever we can, our little loaves and fish, and he does the miracles with them. The more we give him, the more miracles he can do. It's more than match funding. We're not trying to get a minimum amount to keep the doors open. We're trying to get a maximum amount of love giving. We are stewards. All disciples are stewards. Whatever we have, we don't own and possess. It's not ours, our time, talents, and money. Whatever we've got is a little loan. One day, it'll be in black bags. We'll have to give it back. Hopefully in better condition than we got it. But we accept graciously, we use wisely, and we return it, perhaps enhanced than from when we got it. We are stewards whether we like it or lump it. But we should like it. It's a wonderful thought that God has entrusted us with his Garden of Eden. He's entrusted us with the gospel, the good news. He's entrusted us with the mission to be his hands and feet and voice. What an honor and a privilege. All our lives belong to God. All our time belongs to God. All our talents are from God and for God. And it's a lovely world to live in, where we are God's human agents working together. That hymn we sang, "We give thee but thine own, whate'er that gift may be. All that we have is thine alone, a trust, O Lord, from thee." So my car isn't my car, it's God's car. And we give God's people lifts, because really it's everybody's car. My baby is not my baby, it's God's child. I'm the home help carer. Everything that's described in the world as my, Christians change the vocabulary from I, my, and mine to God's will, to him and his. Stewardship is a privilege and it brings responsibilities. Always in life. Adam and Eve were very privileged. But they had the responsibility of looking after the garden. We are accountable to God. We will have to give account, and I don't mean at the end of our lives, tonight, at the end of the day. The world and its resources are not there just for our benefit. The world out there thinks they are. And they don't care two buttons about coming generations. We'll take all the oil out and all the gas out, and the rest can worry about other fuels. It's not our health to just go and smoke or drink or drugs or whatever abuses our health, sugars and fats. It's not our choice for our bodies. It's God's gift to be nurtured and preserved and protected. Any office we hold is not for our esteem, it's for his service. Stewardship is about sharing and redistributing rather than giving. Rich people give away money. Well done them, whoopee-doo. Here's a tangerine, I'll give you a slice. Christians more radically share. Let's call the whole tangerine ours. We'll eat it together. Sharing is much more radical than giving. So we never really give. It's not ours to give. It's just God loaned this to us, and if I got it, I'll share it with you. When I have creative writing, I never make it copyright, because I don't think it's my intellectual material. I believe God gives me the words to say, So if there's any copyright, it belongs to God. The idea of getting something that I write is that it would be shared. I want people to go on my website and use the material. It's a different outlook from the world. It changes our view about paying taxes. Taxes is not us giving our hard-earned money to undeserving causes. Taxes is about us thanking God for the work that we have, the incomes that we get, the chance that we have to help, and the sharing exercise that it is. There's so much more to say, but I'm conscious of time, so let me speed through the last bit. Stewardship is about sharing, not a tenth, the tithe, not even the first tenth, but the 10 tenths. There's nothing that's exclusively ours, never to be shared with anybody else or God. There's a sobering thought. We are committed to a life of service, sacrificial, self-giving service. Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher, used to give away books like confetti. But the more he gave away books, people gave him books. And when he died, he had 12,000 books in the house after a lifetime of giving them away. That's a measure of what it's like with love. You meet thousands of people in a lifetime, and you love each of them. And the more love you give away, the more love you get. And by the time you're finished, you've more love than you ever started with. And the last thought is stewardship is practical worship. It's all right to worship God in word. It's quite easy. But God would like to see it in tangible ways, just like we all do. We're investing in God's ministry, incarnating our spirituality, expressing our joyful gratitude in practical ways. So when Zacchaeus changed inside from a greedy man to a generous man, he showed that by giving money back to the folk he had robbed. The rich young ruler who asked Jesus for advice about how to live, when he was encouraged to do what Zacchaeus had done, he didn't want to give away his wealth to others. Sometimes it's the measure, like money or goods, that kind of reveals the heart. So we read in the Old Testament, "All riches and wealth come from you, O God. My people and I cannot really give you anything because everything is a gift from you, and we've only given back what is yours already. It all came from you and all belongs to you." And St. Paul in the New Testament wrote, "They gave as much as they could, even more than they could. They pleaded for the privilege of having a part in helping God's people. They gave themselves to the Lord. If you are eager to give, God will accept your gift on the basis of what you have to give, not on what you haven't." God's people have always given joyfully, graciously, in response to God's love and grace to them. Amen. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Thank you. Let us pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for your generosity. And in response to your love, we love you. And we try to be as generous as we can in sharing your resources. Amen. Let's sing hymn 462, Take My Life and Let It Be Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. And we'll miss out verses 2 and 3. Miss out verses 2 and 3. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do not live within our means. Individuals amass huge personal debts. Nations amass even bigger scale debts. Both privately and publicly, we live recklessly and irresponsibly. We live at the expense of future generations. We live at the expense of the poorest in society and around the world. We live at the expense of our souls and our eternal destiny. Forgive us. Your grace is so loving, forgiving, and generous that you lavish upon us far more than we deserve. You bless us. So in that sense, we also live beyond our means. We blossom and flourish with the life and blessings which you lavish upon us. Heavenly Father, we live in an unfair society where bankers and football players get millions and the unemployed get cuts in their benefits, where there are haves and have-nots, overeaters and starving, spoiled children and abused children, where injustice abounds. We're not all in this together. Forgive us. But your grace is so loving and forgiving and generous that we are all in this together in the sense that you love everyone, rich and poor, powerful and powerless. And you bind us together in your love to help us work together to solve our inequalities. And Lord, we bring to you our particular prayers this weekend. We pray for those who are ill. We think of Maura Conway, Margaret Curlett, Julie McTavish. We think of Ruth Cowan, Dora Scott, Beth McCracken, Fraser Mitchell, Betty McFall. We think of Peggy Parsons and George Murray. We pray for those who are bereaved. We think especially of the family and friends of Peggy Gilfillan next door, who died at home, and the funeral's here on Wednesday at 12 noon. We pray for our three daughters, Margaret, Marion, and Hazel. We pray for the wider world, especially at harvest time. And we think of global warming issues. We think of Japan with the worst typhoon in 60 years. Many have been killed already. Millions have been affected. We pray for our own country with Brexit. We pray for wisdom and guidance for all the leaders discussing things. We think of the unrest and the protests in Hong Kong and also in Ecuador and Quito, the capital. We think of the Middle East, where America has suddenly pulled out and Turkey has suddenly invaded Syria. There are attacks on Kurds, 50 of them killed, 100,000 made homeless. We pray for America and its president. We pray for our own country, where obesity is now the number one cause of cancer. On a happier note, we celebrate the achievement of Eliud Kipchoge, who ran a marathon in under 2 hours, which was considered impossible till now. As a church today, we pray for Largs St. John's in Cumbrae, the Reverend Jonathan Fleming, and the Deacon Gus Mackay. And we just commit ourselves to your service too. Amen. Our closing hymn is 515. Father, who on man does shower gifts of plenty from thy dower. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, give you light to guide you, courage to support you, and love to unite you, now and evermore. Amen.